真実の言葉を集めて王女の助けにしよう。なぜなら前に生まれるものは後のものを導き、後に生まれるものは前のものの後を尋ね、果たしなくて、連なって途切ることのないようにしたいからのである。それは数切れない迷いの人々が残らず救われるためであると。The words of Shinran Shonin, quoting Dao Chuo. I have collected true words to aid others in their practice for attaining birth, in order that the process be made continuous, without end and without interruption, by which those who have been born first guide those who come later, and those who are born later join those who were born before. This is so that the boundless ocean of birth and death be exhausted.
Namo Amida Butsu, 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 Namo Amida
Butsu. Okay, wow, good morning, everyone. It's great to see all of you. I always encourage our Sangha members to switch on their camera if you'd like during this time, during the Dharma talk or throughout the service. It's great to see everybody's smiling faces, and it's wonderful to see some of our friends from Palo Alto, who I haven't seen in a while. Everyone's looking well, and it's great to see you all. So this is not the way that we had planned to get together to observe Gotane. Originally, as Reverend Koyama had kindly mentioned in his introduction, I was scheduled to speak at the Palo Alto Buddhist Temple for your Gotane service, and had very much looking forward to spending time with you and coming for a visit and getting to celebrate this service in your beautiful hondo. As our circumstances are, we're observing and celebrating Gotane service in this way. When we had first made this plan, one of our Oxnard since I mentioned Oxnard, and I see some Oxnard people, so I've got that on my mind, but one of our San Mateo members had said, oh, why don't we just, May 17th, we'll just bring a big bucket of chow mein and we'll come and we'll join Palo Alto for their service. And it looks like we've kind of wind up doing that after a fashion, minus the chow mein. So I guess we owe you a bucket of chow mein the next time you come to San Mateo. But it's great to be able to be together in this way and to really to take comfort in the Buddhist teachings in these difficult and these unusual times that we're living in at this moment. And I feel that among our services that we observe, that the Gotane service is one that is particularly meaningful and particularly comforting for us in this time as we continue to live through shelter in place. And I just saw yesterday that the seven Bay Area counties have once again kind of extended out their shelter in place. We're loosening up some of the guidelines, but it seems that it will still be a while before we're able to go back to our normal lives that we're used to. And so we're living in this uncertain and stressful time. And so in this time, what more meaningful activity for us to do than to look to those who have come before, to look to the guidance of those like Shinran Shonin. Shinran Shonin himself was born in uncertain times and lived throughout his life in a time of great transition, great turmoil in Japanese society. At the time that Shinran was born in the year 1173, that was right in the midst of the great series of battles and conflicts between the Taira clan and the Minamoto clan, these two very powerful warlord clans, and they were, you know, sort of go up and down. For some time, the Taira clan would be stronger, then the Minamoto clan would would rise up, and they would kind of go back and forth like this. At the time that Shindan was born, the Taira clan was stronger than the Minamoto clan. And so people who were connected to this Minamoto clan were in great danger. And if we think about this time of the fighting between these two clans, you have these two groups that were trying to control the country. These two groups that were trying to be in charge. And they were not necessarily always thinking in the best interest of the common people. In fact, in most cases, their first concern was, how do I stay in power? Or how do I seize power? How do I keep from being defeated? Or how do I go and defeat and take over from this other group? And so their first priority was to think about what they could do to preserve their own power. And as a result, they generally were not thinking about the needs of the common people. And so when they fought a battle, they would fight these huge battles over large swaths of the Japanese countryside. And as they did, there would be warriors riding on horseback and foot soldiers running. They'd be shooting bows and arrows. They'd be clashing with their swords. And so if you think about, at the time, all of these farmers in their fields, what were they doing? They were running and hiding, right? They were leaving. They were just trying to avoid being injured in these battles, just trying to stay out of it. But as a result, all of the farming would shut down. All of the commerce, all of the trade would stop during that time. And so the economy would shut down in that area. And people were not able to grow food. They weren't able to trade, to buy the food and the things that they needed. And so as a result, people experienced great, great hardship. Many people starved during these times. So this was the time into which Shinran Shonin was born. And his family happened to be connected with the Minamoto family. So his family and this Minamoto clan had some connection. His family members had been in the service of this Minamoto clan. And so it was seen that all of the boys in Shinran's family could be in danger, because they would often attack all male family members, regardless of how old they were, unless they did one thing to stay safe. And that one thing that they could do would be to go and to enter life in a temple. And so it was decided that Shinran Shonin, at the time, his name was Matsu Wakamaru. Matsu Wakamaru would go and he would live in a temple called Shōdenin. Shōdenin. It's now in part of Kyoto. It used to be on Mount Hiei itself. And so they took, Shinran was brought by his uncle to this temple. Young Matsu Wakamaru was brought to this temple, and they arrived just as the sun was setting, just at dusk. They arrived, and Matsu Wakamaru's uncle introduced him and said, "This is my nephew. He would like to come and to enter the Buddhist path. He would like to become a Buddhist monk." And Jien, the head priest of the temple, said, "Oh, okay. Well, you know what? It's getting late. It's almost dark. By the time the ceremony is over, it's going to be pitch dark. Why don't we just wait and do it tomorrow?" And it's interesting. Young Matsu Wakamaru was so moved. He was so disappointed that he went out onto a balcony and he penned this. He took up a brush and he wrote a poem, and he presented his poem to Jien and said, "Please read this." So Jien picked up this poem written by a 9-year-old boy. He was 9 years old at the time. And the poem said, "For him who counts on tomorrow like the fragile cherry blossom, tonight, unexpected winds may blow. Asu ari to omou kokoro no adazakura, yowa ni arashi no fukano mono kawa." For him who counts on tomorrow, like the fragile cherry blossom, tonight, unexpected winds may blow. When Jian read this poem, he was so struck, so moved by both the sincerity and the insight of this young boy. This young boy who lived in an uncertain and difficult time and who knew that we make plans, we count on things happening, but he had already seen in his life how quickly things could change just overnight, like a cherry blossom that you look forward to seeing in the beautiful spring day. We'll come and we'll admire the cherry blossoms. But then that night, a strong wind and a storm could blow. And what would happen? The next morning, wake up and all the cherry blossoms have fallen. Right? So he used this poetic language to express a profound truth. And Jian knew that this young boy was ready to enter the path of Buddhist practice. And he welcomed him into the Sangha. And that evening, his ordination ceremony was conducted by candlelight. And that's why even to this day, I see Reverend Yamaoka Landon and Reverend Koyama as well here on the call, myself, all of us who have received this Tokudo ordination. It's always conducted in the evening after the gates of the Honganji are closed. Oftentimes, depending on the time of year, it's already getting dark outside and it's conducted by candlelight, as we remember Shingon Shonin and reflect upon his life and this insight he had that we live in this constant flow of change, that all the things that we expect for tomorrow are impermanent and may not be there for us. And so what is it that we can turn to the unchanging and enduring truth? So this is something that we find throughout our lives, living human life, that things constantly change. Things are constantly changing. This past week, I received an email from one of our temple members who said there's a documentary on PBS that's showing this week called Asian Americans. Did anybody see this? Asian Americans documentary on PBS? I see a few hands going up. It's really excellent. I encourage you to check it out. It's free. You can watch it on the PBS website. Just Google PBS Asian Americans. It's very, very well done. And I was pleased to see that there's one of our Buddhist friends from here in the Bay Area is featured in this documentary. Many of you may know Dr. Satsuki Ina, who's a member of the Buddhist Church of San Francisco. And Dr. Ina tells a very touching story about her own parents and their experience. And she talks about how her mother kept a diary from the time that she was married. And she says that the first pages of the diary describe this hopeful sense of looking forward to the blossoming flowers of newlywed life. Very happy, fallen in love with a wonderful man, looking forward to starting a family together. And after just 9 months of their marriage, the Second World War begins. The Pearl Harbor is bombed, and as you know, we're all familiar with the history, then eventually President Franklin Roosevelt issues the Executive Order 9066, and all people of Japanese ancestry are forced to be uprooted from their homes. And as they were living in the San Francisco area at the time in San Francisco, this young Ina couple was taken to Tan Phran Racetrack, just north of here in San Bruno. And there at Tan Phran Racetrack, they were living their newlywed life. And Mrs. Ina at the time was pregnant with her first son and had very bad morning sickness. Any of you who've been pregnant or had a family member who's pregnant, it's just, you have this terrible nausea, right? You feel upset stomach very, very badly. And she, with this upset stomach, was having to live in these horse stalls at the Tan Phran racetrack that still reeked of manure. So she was sick all the time. She couldn't keep any food down, and she became very concerned about her baby and her baby's health. So eventually, she is able to give birth to a son, Dr. Ina's older brother, and the family is transferred. First, they're in Topaz. Then they wind up in Tule Lake. Then they're separated, and Mr. Ina is taken to Fort Lincoln in North Dakota. And finally, the family is reunited in Crystal City, Texas. Right? And during these war years, Dr. Ina was also born. She was born in the incarceration camps there, as I'm aware that many of you also had that experience and your families lived through that. And so watching this, I was reminded of these constant flows that define our history and determine where we are today, this flow of causes and conditions. Were it not for those who lived through that difficult time, we would not have this Nembutsu teaching here. And how is it that they were able to continue to make it through and live through that experience with the dignity and with the composure and the peace of heart in the midst of these very troubling circumstances that I've heard many of you describe to me in reflecting upon your Issei and Nisei parents and grandparents? And so I believe that for those who lived in the Nembutsu, they took comfort in this teaching of Shinran Shonin. Shinran Shonin, who himself lived through these difficult and uncertain times. Shinran Shonin, who sought this unchanging truth. And he discovered that and then shared it. Shared it first with the people close to him, his own family, the people near him. But this teaching spread all over the world. And then it arrived here in California. And what is this teaching that has given strength throughout the generations, in Shinran Shonin's time, in this time of the Second World War, this teaching of the Nembutsu, this teaching of Amida Buddha's compassionate vow, that we are all embraced. When we hear these words, Namo Amida Butsu, the wisdom and compassion of the Buddha is alive in our hearts, guiding us and sustaining us and carrying us on our own journey to birth in the pure land of Amida Buddha. That's represented by this Onaijin space here and at the Palo Alto Buddhist Temple and at your home, Obutsudana. When you look at that space, when you see an image of Amida Buddha, and you hear these words, Namo Amida Butsu, know that you are being carried and embraced on your journey to a life of wisdom and compassion. So I know Dr. Ina a little bit, and I've certainly heard much about Dr. Ina's activities. And it talks a little bit about that at the end of the first episode of this documentary. And I know that she describes herself as a born-again Buddhist, a person who, through her journeys in life, returned to this Buddhist teaching and now finds her spiritual home in the Nembutsu. And as she describes these difficult experiences of her family and the trauma they experienced and the grief and all of the difficulty in her own heart, she also talks about how she has taken her guidance in the Nembutsu. And we see that in the way that she lives, because those of you who are familiar with Dr. Ina's activities will know that she's very active in reaching out to others who have experienced the injustice of incarceration, the separation of families. She's an active voice, somebody who has heard this Nembutsu teaching, thinking about her own life, thinking about her family's life, recognizing that she is embraced by the compassionate concern of the Buddha, and then sharing that compassionate concern with others, regardless of what their background may be. And so I think for all of us, we live in this time of constant change. We live in the midst of making plans. I think many of us had plans for this spring and the summer, things that we were looking forward to doing, graduation ceremonies, preparing for our bazaars and our obon celebrations, preparing for maybe summer trips, family vacations, all of these things that now we find that the storm of COVID-19 has blown into our lives quite suddenly. And we find that all of those plans, everything that we had intended to do, has now been turned upside down. So how do we live in the midst of this? When I reflect upon the challenges faced in Shinran Shonin's time, the challenges of those who lived through the Second World War, I find that although this is the great challenge of my life, the greatest difficulty that I've faced thus far, that in some ways it pales in comparison to the difficulties that they face. And so if the Nembutsu, if this teaching of Amida Buddha's compassion could carry Shinran Shonin through the times of warfare and strife that he lived in, could carry those like the Ina family who lived through the Second World War, if that compassionate vow and trusting in Amida Buddha could be their source of strength, their way of remaining calm, then surely this teaching has the power to carry me forward as well. Carry me forward with the understanding that I am receiving the compassionate care of the Buddha. And so the way to live meaningfully in this moment, in this time of difficulty, is to do so with care and concern for others. We can reflect upon as we hear the Nembutsu in this time celebrating Shinran Shonin's birthday in Gotani. And Shinran Shonin himself, who shared these words, that he passes on the teachings that so that those who go before may be a guide to those who come later, and that those who come later may look to those who have gone before, that we may all realize birth in this realm of peace and bliss. So I thank you again for this honor of spending time with you. It's wonderful to have so many gathered here together for this service as we observe and reflect upon our Gotane, one of our most important services in the Jodo Shinshu tradition. I wish you all healthy and peaceful times in the coming weeks, and I look forward to the days when we can gather again and hear each other's voices directly in the Nembutsu. So thank you very much. We'll conclude at this time with Gassho. For him who counts on tomorrow, like the fragile cherry blossom, tonight unexpected winds may blow. Asu ari to omou kokoro no adazakura, yowa ni arashi no fukano mono kawa.
Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo Amida Butsu.